throughout this Proverbs chapter 1. We just read the first seven verses as the introduction. Look with me again at verse 20, and it says this: "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utter her words, saying," and then it's got a description of what she says there. We're going to find that theme of wisdom crying out. Wisdom personified and speaking is again replete throughout these Proverbs. And it is what's called wisdom literature, and we find again a good emphasis on the wisdom there. And so after the statement, look what it says in verse 24 for wisdom and what she had said, and people aren't listening. It says in verse 24, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." And then verse 26, I often label this the saddest verse in the Bible. It says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." And so we find a stern warning here that wisdom is available. Indeed, it cries out, as it says here. Yet mankind does not pursue after wisdom. Instead, they become what Romans 1 calls a reprobate mind. So let's jump over to Proverbs chapter 2 and look at that. Again, this is going on in depth of what it's saying here in the next Psalms. If you notice, Psalms 2, 3, 4, no, 4 begins, "Hear ye children," 5, "My son," 6, "My son," and 7 begins, "My son," and then 8, the other psalm I want to look at tonight, says, again, our theme that we found already, "Doth not wisdom cry?" So look at verse 2 again, which is kind of an introduction to the "My son" series, and I want you to see the "if then," "if then," and again, it's got some very long sentences here in its opening, and so we have a "if then" situation. The "then" is found in verse 5, and the ongoing "if" is found in verses 1 through 4. So let's look at that tonight. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," and we're going to find some of these same verbs that we rehearsed over in the first two sentences. "If," it says, "thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." So we've got an "if" with several contingent sayings here again before we get to the "then." And notice again, it has to do with a pursuit after knowledge. It has a pursuit after wisdom. It has to do with a pursuit after education, after research, after meditation. Verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So we're charged all the way through here to increase in the knowledge of God. And that's the challenge that's given in these opening few verses. Look with me now at chapter 8, and we want to look at this in a little more detail. We have again the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is personified. Let's look at some of the details it's given of it here, and how this kind of orchestrates a construction of the personification of wisdom. In other words, it's made as if it were a person. I've often said it's made in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but And you can read and substitute in the Lord Jesus Christ for this wisdom for the large part. But again, notice here again, it is a personification of wisdom itself. And it begins, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so in that personification, it's interesting me to sit down and look out and say, I was a youth pastor for years and taught teenagers, and I was always curious if teenagers can hear the cry of wisdom. Dave, you're a school teacher, and so you wonder if there's any young people out there that are pursuing after wisdom and can hear her cry. How do you suppose wisdom cries out on the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the past? She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the becoming in, at the doors. How is that wisdom crying out? Any ideas? Dave, you got an idea?
Repeat that question again.
How is it that wisdom cries out? I think of a young people standing at the door. Here, standing at the gate. How is it that wisdom is crying out to them?
When God searched their heart.
All right,
when
yeah.
God searched their heart.
And this, you know, when I read through this, this is less about God's involvement in mankind and more about man's involvement in pursuits of wisdom. Does that make sense? So it's not really talking about God takes this person and shoves them into wisdom or forces it upon them, but the idea that wisdom's there and it's crying out, and what is man doing to receive that? Or to hear it, even.
It's like salvation. I mean, wisdom's at the gates where everybody's going to come in. And so wisdom's crying out. I mean, anybody that wants it can have it freely.
Reading the Word of God or listening to a parent give them wisdom?
Okay. So, yeah, we see the wisdom again as... Brother Cramner was saying that it's like wisdom crying out for... to be heard, I guess.
At the gates. In other words, everybody that comes into a city comes through the gates.
You're right, yeah.
So wisdom is just crying out like salvation and saying, listen, you know, I'm here, I'm free, take me, you know, but people are just passing it by.
And yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and so I think wisdom cries the louder every time, and like, hey, listen, but none, not a lot receive it.
So, Dave was, if you didn't hear that, Dave was making the analogy that it's like salvation that cries out to everybody too. It's available to everybody, and it's cries out as being available. And built inside of man, too, is a knowledge that they need salvation, which is curious. Here, I think, is built inside of man is a desire to pursue after wisdom. Brother Johnson mentioned the reading of the Word of God, and certainly there's avenues where we could pursue wisdom again. People don't read as much as they used to, I believe, but that certainly is part of our pursuit after knowledge, our pursuit after wisdom. We think about the introductions that we already read about what a person needs to do to go after wisdom, to get it at all cost, and to buy wisdom even and sell it not, and some of the other analogies of how we get a hold of wisdom. Here, wisdom's crying out for people to pursue after wisdom and instruction and knowledge. I think of the here where it says, in the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the paths, she crieth at the gate. I don't know exactly where all that is implied, but it's like it's for crying out loud from the high places, like a herald that again would yell forth the news. Here it says that she crieth at the gates. If you picture at the gates, I've kind of tried to picture a young man sitting down at the gate, and that's where the elders of the city would gather. That's where judgment was done. That's where, again, counsel was received. And so just to sit back and watch what's going on should make a young man desirous of having more wisdom. And so as we see that portrayed here again, that wisdom is personified as if, hey, it's available. Yay, it's even crying out for attention. Verse 5 kind of switches venue there where it says, oh, ye simple ones. So it cries for the simple to understand. I don't think it's implying that everyone is simple. Some people are pursuing wisdom early on. And have just a desire to grow in wisdom and knowledge and searching things out, the inquisitive minds. But here it just enhances its cry and says, oh, ye simple ones, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. So that first whole 12 verses that we read, 11 verses there that we read, has that portrayal of wisdom crying out. And we'll see that repeated through this chapter. Look now at verse 12. I've often thought that if wisdom's crying out, it ain't crying as loud, and it's overrun by our society's stereos and internets and megaphones and everything else that's going on in the world. And so a lot of people miss the wisdom that's crying out. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. We've been to revival services up at Seneca Falls Monday night, and then the preacher's fellowship on Tuesday morning. And praise the Lord, Tracy got to go up with me, and we had just a great time. And anyway, up there, one of them was talking about pride, how much he hates pride. I think that was Tuesday morning. It might have been Tuesday night. Evangelist Hardman. And he defined arrogancy as pride when it shows up on the outside. When your pride shows up on the outside, you have an arrogancy about you. Notice again that pride and arrogancy here and the evil way seem closely tied together. But people can be so arrogant. I guess I don't have to say that with what's going on in the streets of our major cities. And the froward mouth, or the crooked, or the lying, and the deceitful mouth, it says, do I hate. Verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Notice again another slight change of venue here. This is again wisdom personified. And someplace here, I like to switch over my thinking and say, this isn't only wisdom. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the creator here with this wisdom. And it says, counsel is mine. And we know again that that's in his name. Chapter 9 of Isaiah. And his name shall be called Counselor. And so here it says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. And that's kind of why I switch with my personification here, because wisdom was being personified, but now it seems bigger than that. I am understanding, it says, for this person. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And so as we look at that again, notice some of the same things repeated about the availability. And here another mention that I love them that love me. And so pursuing, and then think of this as both wisdom and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, pursuing after wisdom to know God and certainly to know his Son. If that's our pursuit, that pleases God. And it says here, those that seek me early shall find me. I got another whole tirade I'd go on here about children, that they need to be trained in the Word of God early. They need to be trained in the pursuit of this wisdom early on in their lives. Again, it was Brother Hardman again that went on, I think it was him, went on and on about the fact that who's going to train your children. In fact, he took a quick survey. That was a Tuesday night. He took a quick survey of how many in the church have regular family devotions where they read their Bible and pray with their children. And he was so dismayed at the poor response of that that he went on for a significant time talking about the importance of our family altar and teaching our children. And so here, notice again, I love them that love me and those that seek me early. That could be talking about early in a circumstance, but probably more so early in life. That again, a child is trained to hear this cry of wisdom and to pursue after it early in life. And then it begins another section on creation here, starting in verse 21. No, I read 21. Starting in verse 22. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And again, I have a mix of the two personalities here, one being the Lord Jesus Christ speaking as a personified presence, and the other being, again, wisdom as personified. So notice again that you can take both of these right through this analogy. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his work of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And then he does a little thing on creation here. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no mountains, no fountains, abounding with water. Notice again that in the creation account, it began with water, and the face of the deep was a watery globe at the beginning of creation. Then it says, verse 25, before the fountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth nor the fields. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Grandma Jenny. We are in Proverbs chapter 8, just reading up on verse 26. Proverbs 8, verse 26. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the field, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he stretched the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, dot, dot. Notice again, we have a good blow-by-blow description of creation here given that aligns very well with Genesis and the sixth day of creation, seventh day of rest. Verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me. So we're starting a new thought here again. He was there for all of creation. Yea, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ was the creator. In the beginning, God created everything. And John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's the Word. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And so there again, there's that blessing for those that are seeking after wisdom. Verse 35, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. And again, when that's the Lord Jesus Christ personified there, whoso findeth me, findeth life. Eternal life. And it says, and shall obtain obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. And so there we see again a personification of wisdom in the series I'm doing on Sunday morning. We're looking at the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And there again, it rehearses the fact that they hate him to the point of wanting to hang him on a tree, to destroy him. So notice again that this fits so well and so aptly with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when we're looking at wisdom. Chapter 9, I wish I had time to go through that. We'll take some prayer requests and pray here next. But chapter 9 begins, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And so notice again there that we have this personified wisdom is now in the house building business. Again, it's likening to building your house on the rock and paying attention to what wisdom says, even it's given in the parable that Christ gave. If you jump down halfway through, so that's a personified wisdom, building a house, and everything is prepared, it's almost like it's easy to obtain, it's available, and the work is already done, and then it's got some more instructions there, and in verse 10 is a culmination of that. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then it goes down and it begins, the foolish woman also builded a house, starting there in verse 13. And so we see a contrast of two houses built. And unfortunately, the majority of our world is living in the house of foolishness rather than the house of wisdom. Appreciate again that we could do a quick study out of Proverbs here. That kind of opens the whole book, I believe, when you're looking at this setting of wisdom and pursuing after wisdom that's found in this wisdom literature. Lord bless you as you read through the rest of that book, and I appreciate again that we could meet tonight and just look at that first portion. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again that we could look at it tonight. Pray again that you'd bless. Cause again, Father, that you'd give us a desire after wisdom, after knowledge, after understanding, and realize again that each of those, even in this context, begins with the fear of you. And so I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to reverence your word and to love you and to pursue after this wisdom. Thank you that we have a knowledge of you, even of a saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, that you've promised to lead us into all truth. And thank you especially, Father, as we consider what it took to bring us to salvation, that you opened our lives again to your presence by somebody witnessing to us or a track, or that we could hear again the gospel message and receive salvation. We look out at the world today floundering and flailing around without wisdom and all too often in complete ignorance. And Father, I pray again that you'd help us again not only to be wise, but to be heralds of wisdom in this day and age that we live in, and heralds of salvation. Thank you for your word. Help us to be students of it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and take prayer requests. And we do want to pray for our country and the mess that we're in, for churches, again, that are still experiencing persecution during our coronavirus tactics that's going on. And so let's keep those things in our prayers. And Grandma's on, wanted to pray for Keegan. Is Grandma still on? Perhaps not. Yeah, so I'm supposed to be able to push a button and mute and turn on people, but I only have a phone connected, so. All right, so let's keep Keegan in our prayers. Pray for Grandma again, that God would hear Grandma's prayers. Pray for each member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Pray for our missionaries. We might be, again, over the worst of this. I know in Peru, again, they're still under lockdown and things going on there as far as the riches, getting those Bibles distributed all over South America. That's all held up. Last I heard, the Rodriguezes are still out of the country, living in Florida, until they can get back into their work in Paraguay. And so let's pray for each of our missionaries. All of them are in harm's way during this pandemic, and also in harm's way because of government rulings in the non-free countries that they're serving in. Many of them facing great hardship. So let's pray for all of our missionaries. I went through the list of 13 missionaries and two other 13 that we support fully, and then two, the Victory Baptist Press for their Bibles for South America, and Now Ministries that we're praying for and supporting. So let's pray for each of our missionaries. Of course, let's pray for Jeannie. her healing and her well-being again during these hard times. Beverly pulled a muscle in her back, if you'd pray for Beth, that would finally relax again. So she was pretty well laid up when I left the house tonight. All right. You guys have any prayer requests to mention?
That Gillette family that I mentioned, I think I texted the other day, a mother of eight, she just died. She, I don't know if she had a heart attack. It's one of Bonnie and Charlie's, a member of the church.
Okay. So Bonnie and Charlie's church friends, again, that lost the mom of the family. So pray that God would hear the prayers of the Gillette family right now and hear the prayers of Bonnie and Charlie as well. We just saw on the news tonight again that someone fell off a waterfall down in, I don't know where they were, but... A young man from Addison is fighting for his life in the hospital.
Last name is Strong.
What was the last name?
Strong.
Strong. So the Strong family again. I didn't hear any mention for their salvation, but they did end their interview with please pray, pray, pray. And so they're asking people to pray. Let's pray for the Strongs. And what was he, a 16-year-old? With traumatic brain injury. All right. And then, let's see, talk to Brother Patterson again there in Michigan, and he is not doing any revival meetings, but he is preaching each Sunday. So keep the Pattersons in prayer. They do plan on being here with us that first week of August. And so pray for our upcoming revival services with the Pattersons and for their health and well-being as well. And then Bill had some tests that they did on some polyps, and so keep Bill in our prayers, too, for that.
I don't know if he's still on, but he said he probably won't hear from the test until about the 20th of June.
Okay. Yep, we can hear you just fine. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
I don't think so. I think they gave up.
Oh, okay. Can you hear us?
I can.
Yeah, I can hear you too. Me and Jean can hear you.
Okay. Did you put it on speakerphone, huh?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that helps. All right.
He said he had this from the ties that could go, but he didn't hear you.
Ah. Well, is Grandma Jenny there yet?
I'm here.
All right. Praise the Lord. So I was just going to yell at Bill for not having his hearing aid turned up, but Grandma's got her hearing aid. She seems to be able to hear us. Bless your heart. All right. So any other prayer requests anyone have? Okay. So let's continue to pray for Randy and Tammy. He is home, and Tammy's taking care of him. And he did have extensive brain surgery there on that tumor. So let's remember Randy and Tammy. Steve wanted to be here tonight. He is driving. Let's pray for Steve. I haven't heard from Barb, but let's keep Barb on our prayer list as well. Keep praying for Barb. All right, so let's go ahead and if no one has any other requests, let's go ahead and pray. Let's see, other announcements. We should be trying to Zoom together. Do we have numbers for our Zoom meeting?
Same ones.
Same ones? Okay, so if you could blast them numbers out on Facebook again, that'd be helpful. And then Friday's or Saturday's prayer meeting, too, is going to be Zoom. We'll try to get together with that again, if you can come in on that, or by telephone, either one. And so let's go ahead and pray. Let's do a little different tonight. Let's have Brother Dave Johnson, can you lead us off in prayer?
Yes.
Oh, okay, we'll have Dave Johnson, you lead us off in prayer, and then Brother Cramner, I'm going to ask you to grab the mic up here again and lead in prayer so everyone can hear over our speakers. Our wireless mic quit already. So Brother Dave Johnson, yeah, if you'd go ahead and lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this technological prayer meeting, Lord. And we thank you that technology is there, and even though we can't be together physically, Lord, we can be together in spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for the verses that we read in Proverbs. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor's teaching of it. So, Lord, thank you also for the prayer requests that were given. And we ask, Father, that you would hear these prayer requests, Father, and answer them according to your will. I think of my wife, Lord. I just pray that you continue to help her, Lord. She's not feeling well, and I just pray, Father, your hand of grace upon her. Please, Lord, have mercy. But encourage her, Lord. Please hold her up. I pray that you'd help her to have a better day tomorrow. Help her to have a good night's sleep tonight.
Yes.
Please help her to feel better,
Lord.
So, Lord, we think of the Keegan and his battle with cancer. Pray, Lord, that you would give him the victory, Lord, over that. We pray, Father, that you would touch his body and make him whole, heal him of cancer. Encourage him, Lord, strengthen him. You and his family as well, help them, Lord. Be with the Gillis family, Lord, who lost their mother and wife. We just pray to be with that husband and his children, Lord, and help them to cope. We pray for your peace that only you can give, Lord, that only you that would help. We just pray that you would do that for them. Take us bed and help her with her sore back. It's muscle fast, and Lord, we pray you give us some relief from that.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
By the time she wakes up tomorrow, Lord, it'll be better. And Lord, I think also was the Strong family from this boy who fell or into the water or whatever the situation was, Lord, you had some head injuries. I just pray, Father, that you would heal him.
Yeah,
help them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, be with the Pattersons and encourage them, Lord. Be with Brother Mike's health and wife as well. Just get them safe traveling and help them all that they'll be trying to do for you, Lord, as well. Father, be with Brother Bill and with the test he had done. We pray, Father, for good results for them. We just pray that you would encourage him and Jackie both, Lord. They continue to be with Randy, whatever, I don't know what's going on with him, but I just pray that you continue to help him, Lord. Encourage him and strengthen Tammy, too, and the children. Just help with their situation that they're in, Lord.
Thank you.
Be with my sister-in-law, Barb, and her daughter, Anna, as well. They're both kind of wore out, exhausted, especially Barb, from the overnight. And just can't get used to the hours of night. So, don't blame her, but I know I couldn't either, but. I pray that you would help them, Lord. Give them strength and encourage them. Watch over them and their family. So, Father, just thank you again for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that Grandma
Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, I thank you also, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, like Dave said, Lord, for the book of Proverbs. And thank you so much, Lord, for wisdom, and it's so easy to get. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the ability to get it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, through these times to have godly wisdom, Lord.
Yes,
help us to seek your face, Lord, in these times. And I pray, Lord, for Jeannie, and I just pray, Lord, you just take her cancer and the pain away, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, like Dave said, you just give her a good night. I just pray, Lord, she gets the rest she needs, and I just pray that she'll wake up refreshed, Lord. Be with Dave also, Lord, and watch over him and strengthen him. Be with Keegan, Lord, and his cancer. I just pray, Lord, you take that away, Lord, such a young man, Lord, but none of us are promised tomorrow, and I just pray, Lord, that you be with him. And I pray also, Lord, for Randy and the problems he's having, and I just pray, Lord, for Tammy watching over him. I just pray, Lord, you just give them a good night also. Be with a strong family, and I just pray, Lord, you just heal this young boy. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, for the Gillettes, and I pray for that family. And
yeah.
Lord, they're probably going to have a funeral quickly. I just pray, Lord, that if there's any that attend it, Lord, if they can, I just pray, Lord, that they realize how close to eternity they are, Lord. Lord, I think of our country and the problems we're going through, Lord, it just seems like one hot mess after another.
Yeah.
I just pray, Lord, that people seek you, and Lord, I know through this time that many aren't, and they're falling away, and I just pray, Lord, for that. I just pray, Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, I just pray that we do our job and keep the faith, Lord. And give us safety as we go home tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, praise you again. Thank you that we can meet in your name here tonight. Thank you for the great promise that we have in prayer. And we'd ask again that you'd hear our prayer tonight and touch each prayer that's been whispered to you. Father, some of these on our prayer requests, we don't know them, but we do know that you are in control of circumstances. I think of the Strongs who publicly asked to be prayed for their 16-year-old father and the injury that he has. And so we pray that you'd hear their prayer. And we pray that your name could even be exalted and lifted up through this horrible circumstance and calamity that's been brought into their life. And Father, that even somehow you'd hear the prayers even tonight, Father, as they pray over their son and Strong's memorial, and to pray again that you'd touch them. And Father, cause that your name could be lift up through it all. We think of the Gillette family, and sometimes we don't understand why bad things happen to good people. But I pray again that you'd hear their prayer tonight, that you'd surround them in a grace that only you could touch them with, that you'd hear Bonnie and Charlie's prayer, and Father, the rest of their church there, that you'd again hear their plea and their cry. And Father, that you'd intervene with a grace that's sufficient, even in the trials that's going on there. I praise you for the Pattersons, and ask that you touch and encourage them, give him health. Thank you for the weight loss that he's had, and pray again, Father, that you'd give him help even to come out here in August and to preach. We think of his curtailing his trips up to Connecticut and Maine, and just pray, Father, again, that you'd bless. We know they have needs, and pray for them financially. I think again of the Bennetts as well, and pray for them, and Father, their willingness to come out this year, and the decision again that we made again to wait. And so I pray a special blessing on the Bennetts. You know their needs, you know their dilemma, you know their situation, and the Pattersons as well. And so we'd ask that you reach down and touch them. And then for our own, Father, here we pray for healing. I think especially of Jeannie. And Father, we're looking to you again to intervene, to touch with not only grace, but with healing. And Father, that you'd hear the prayers that have been lifted to thee. Thank you for our time at Seneca and the close friends that we have up there and could spend three nights with, and pray again that you'd hear their prayers that they lift up for Jeannie, and touch each of them in a special way. I think also of the Riches up there and their needs again, and for his dad
that went to the hospital last night, and I pray that you'd be with Aaron and Sue and touch them and their need. And Father, an old soldier that served you and loved you, I pray again that you'd intervene as only a loving Heavenly Father could and hold them close. We pray, Father, that you'd hear our prayer for Bev and the muscle and the healing that's needed there. And we'll thank you. We pray that you'd hear our prayer and hear Grandma's prayer, especially for Keegan. And hear his prayer, Father, and his family again that are giving testimony of their love for you. I pray that you'd hear their prayers and seal their relationship with you in an, even in a more perfect bond that they could again, Father, lean on you during these times, and that you'd hear their prayer and touch as only you could. I think of Randy and Tammy, and pray also for them that you'd touch with your healing hand and hear Randy's prayer and hear Tammy's prayer and touch their home and their lives and their children to hear their prayers and cause again, Father, that you'd bring healing your hand there. We pray that you'd be with others that aren't here tonight. I think especially Barb, and pray that you'd surround her in your care and your blessing. I think again of her prayer for her families and ask that you'd hear that. Pray, Father, that you'd be with Tim and Linda, and Father, for healing and for strength and encouragement there in their home and in their walk with you during these hard times. And Father, for Steve, and Father, that you'd touch him, surround him as he's working tonight, and we'll praise you and thank you for Tracy and for Deb and for Tracy being at work. Ask that you'd surround him in your care and blessing, and thank you for the week we've already had together. Pray a special blessing on him tonight and at home tonight, and we'll praise you and thank you. Father, lift up Jody and Sheila, especially be with Jody as he'd take off and go gallivanting all across the country and riding a motorcycle back from Montana. Lord, he sure needs your hand upon him, your protection, your blessing, your watch care. So we'd ask that you'd hear Sheila's prayer and surround Jody in your care and blessing. And may every mile of the trip that he's taken be a joy to him. And Father, praise you again and thank you for is acknowledging his need of prayer, and pray, Father, again that you just surround him now in your care over these next few days. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that we can come to you tonight. We thank you for the wisdom that we find in your word and the wisdom that we've pursued in our lives. And Father, that we could look out on this old world and the dilemma that it's in, and just a constant tribulation and a problem after problem. And Father, these riots that's going on and the discontent in America. And I pray again, Father, that you'd open people's eyes to you as their creator and maker. And Father, that you'd again just even use the circumstances that we're going to be facing in an election year, Father. And all the political twists and drama that's going on through the news media and such, Father, that we could again see your name somehow just lifted up and exalted. Thank you for the victories that were won, for churches that were closed and fined and again interrupted for having worship. And I pray again, Father, even as the president spoke out, to intervene and to override any of the rulings against the churches. We praise you for that and thank you again that for a moment you've given us leadership that will take a stand for you and hold a Bible up in front of a church and make the bishop, make her so mad, Father. I thank you and praise you for that, and to ask that you'd open people's eyes that they'd see the hatred that people have for Trump. And Father, have them recognize that he's a stalwart for you and took a stand again for righteousness in this nation. And Father, we'd ask again in your will and in your way that you'd give us four more years of this reprieve from socialism and communism and anarchy and tyranny that threatens our very nation. And we'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and just touching our nation tonight. May you again place in the heart of some of our leaders a knowledge that you gave to Ahab that the Lord, you are God. Lord, you are God, our Creator. Father, thank you for the creation verses we looked at tonight. And Father, I just pray again that you'd cause an awakening in our country. Father, we don't understand all that's going on, but we trust you. We don't understand all that your hand is doing in our society, even in our churches. But Lord, we trust you and we love you. And thank you again, Father, that we can stand on the solid rock, your only begotten Son. Is his name now. We come to you and tonight and ask that you'd hear our prayers, each prayer, and touch each life in a special way. And we'll praise you for your hand on Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Father, we're not much, but what we are, we want to be a lighthouse to you and lift up your name. And Father, I see your name exalted in this community, in this county, in upstate New York, in the lives of our families and loved ones and our neighbors. Father, that they could again see our love for you even through Good Samaritan Baptist Church, even tonight. We'll praise you now and thank you for hearing our prayer, touching each prayer request, each life, each family, each home, each step we'll take through the remaining of this week. Father, may we be joined back together at 11 o'clock worship service in a way again that we could lift up your name and give praise to our Savior, our God, and our King. In his name we pray just now. Amen and amen. All right. Praise the Lord. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Praise the Lord.